Lord, we do praise and honor you for your work. It's already being accomplished. You're going to have your way with your body. And the more willing, the more receptive, the more yielded we are, the better off we are. And so open us even more, God, to receive, Lord, the word. And let this, Lord, we good works for all of us this day. And I ask that if there's some here that have not yet committed their lives to you, they've not quite understood you, Lord, that they would cry out, Lord, you receive your good gift of salvation. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, how many of you, from time to time, you have different things in your life, projects, maybe hobbies, maybe self-improvement, working on maybe a vintage car or even landscaping? Some people get excited about that. There's things in your life that occupies your attention, like you work, then you want to get home and do this thing. Maybe you're creating a piece of music, or you're just something that is very of much of interest to you. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure we all have things from time to time, and they could change here and there. Things that are of great interest. You know, we do the things that we have to do, so then we can do the things we want to do. And what are those things that we want to do, really enjoy? What is enthusiastic? And, you know, being made in God's image, I can infer that God also has very special interest. And, of course, he has no needs, but he has desires, he has wants, and he's very creative, of course, obviously. And I'm convinced that at this point in existence, in our existence, in this created order, that God's greatest concern in his creation is his body. Now, there's a very practical analogy that I'd never made this connection before, but in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians 5 that no man ever hated his own body. And so a person naturally, unless they're crazy, but a rational person naturally is going to tend towards the body. And of course, we're bumping up against the lunch period, and you don't even have to think about it, but you'll be very interested in what your body has to say in the next 45 minutes or so, because it's going to say, feed me, feed me. And he better hurry up, because I need feeding. So there's that no man ever hated his own body, but cherishes it, nourishes it. And of course, God's greatest concern, or the greatest concern of Jesus Christ, is his very body. And sometimes we could think, well, God's, he so loved the world, and Jesus is concerned about souls out there, which he is, don't get me wrong. But he has an even greater concern for those that are in his care and in his fold. And he wants, of course, to bring all people into his fold. But his primary concern is his body and tending to his body, taking care of his body. Now, some of that body, some of the body of Christ at this point is maintenance-free. Can anybody tell me where that part of his body is right now? In heaven. Some of our brothers and sisters have already gone on into glory, and he doesn't need to tend to them or take care of them or maintenance them. They don't have the gravity of the world or self-worship and all the things, all that drag. They don't have that issue that we here still deal with. But so there's a body, there's part of the body that still needs servicing. And anybody part of that right now? I still need servicing from God, because my thoughts drift, and it doesn't take too long, and so I need the Holy Spirit. I need God to service me, and that is his primary concern, is to tend to me and to tend to you. And he's given us the church. He's given us one another. He's given us this word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. All of these wonderful gifts are acts of service. They're the grace of God. They're benevolence to tend towards his greatest concern, which is his body. Now, God can totally and sufficiently take care of his body himself. He does not need any help. But wouldn't you know it, part of God's plan to tend to the maintenance side of the body, part of the body that's still here on earth, is that he builds up people in the body to tend to the body itself. Hence, the title of today's message is Bodybuilders. The Lord's taking care of his body, and he raises up in the body itself members to service, to tend to that body. In Ephesians 4:12, this gets at the heart of the forthcoming message. He raises up, he equips, he allows bodybuilders, if you will, Ephesians 4:12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, properly, Paul is talking about some very specific parts of the body: pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles. And he uses these vessels, he uses these instruments in order to prepare God's people in general to serve, and that the body of Christ might be built up, that the body of Christ might be more like Jesus. Or to put it another way, so that the people in the church would no longer be like children, tossed to and fro, easily dazed and confused, easily deceived by their own foolish thoughts or the trickery and the cunning of insincere deceivers. The Lord has given these bodybuilders, and today, to put a fine point on it, today we are going to be installing, praying over seven men that have shown themselves faithful in the church, and we're going to be praying them into a official or formal office of deacon, if you will. The danger with a message like this is you know, it's so specific that we're praying over seven that the what about me's come up. Well, good news. There's going to be enough to go around for everybody to be built up, to be encouraged in your service, and you don't have to be in an official, formal office to be serving the wonderful body of Jesus Christ. And so we'll lay that to rest right now. But this is a time that not only is there going to be general edification, but also seven men are going to be honored. None of them presumed or ambitious towards that, by the way, and hence their qualification. But they're going to be prayed over, and we're all going to be blessed together. Now, these bodybuilders, they are ultimately blessings from God. When you serve the body of Christ, in whatever capacity, it may be in secret, it may be in public, it may be perceived as something small and mundane, or it may be perceived, key word by the way, as a great exploit. However you serve the body of Christ, you're actually blessing Jesus Christ himself. And whoever tends to God's greatest concern, God is going to tend to them. Now in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, we're looking at the early church. Same church as us, really, because God's not looking at generations and time like we do. But chronologically, the church had just begun. It was birthed. And there's an issue that comes up. There's a problem or a controversy that we find in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And so we'll pick it up here. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenist, that is, Greek-speaking Christians, arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now, the church from the beginning was very much into giving, into taking care of the weak, tending the widows, tending the orphans, as the church should be. The strong bear the weak. And those that are in the church have been filled with the Holy Spirit. They have this love in them, and that love's got to get out. And so a true church tends towards the weak. However, here, there is a language barrier. And for whatever reason, the Greek-speaking widows are being slighted and the Hebrew-speaking, or the more of the Palestinian, the Jewish or Aramaic-speaking Hebrew widows are being tended to. So what happens, verse 2, staff meeting time. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and we will appoint them to this duty." Now, there's only so much we can do, and so we need to raise up some servants. There's a need that's been brought forth. Let's fill the need. We're not going to stretch ourselves beyond what we're able to do. Now, in verse 2, it talks about that they're not going to give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. In the original language, the word "serve" there is diakoneo, and it's the verb form of what would become the deacon. So the official or formal servant leader that would come to be. Now, there's a little bit of a disagreement in this passage as to whether these were the first deacons as we've come to know them, or whether they anticipated what would come. And I probably would be more towards the latter. It anticipates the more official office that would come. But irrespective of that, we need to have some servants that are designated to fill this need. So in verse number 4, we pick it up here, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said, that is what the apostles said, pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and the apostles prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, what happens when the need comes forth and there's a complaint, there's a grief in the body of Christ? You know, sometimes we need a little bit of shaking, or we need someone to bring their need forward. And the church is not just to be some unity that never has any wrinkles or identifies any problems. That almost is cultic. But the church is to be a place when the inevitable wrinkles or complaints or needs come forth that we can come, let us reason together. Let's see by the Holy Spirit how we're able to tend to this. And they did just that. And so verse number 7, we see a result of what has happened. "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." And so when the body of Christ is operating properly, the body of Christ here on earth can never operate perfectly. We're still in the maintenance mode. We're still dealing with issues and lacks and imperfections and personality problems, preferences, and all those things. But when those things are identified, then we deal with those and we continue on. And of course, the body of Christ continues to increase and strengthens, and the word of God goes forth, and God can continue to do his work. And we're not stuck in a rut, if you will. We're not just sitting there, you know, well, there's a problem here, and tempers flare, and so we just all give up. Like the spirit of divorce that occupies our nation. We just divorce them, and we're going to go find a better situation. That's not how the body of Christ operates. No, it continues on, and we pray. They prayed over these men, and God blessed, and there was an increase and a growth. Now, in Acts chapter 4, we have another example which predates this the 7 that had hands laid on them. Another example of a blessing. Somebody say blessing. A blessing from God. And I love this man that's going to be described here in Acts 44, verses 36 or 37. "Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas," which means son of encouragement, "a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it to the apostles' feet." If you have been in a leadership scenario where you've been the one in charge, or you know, kind of like the buck stops here, And many of you have in different times and seasons, or even right now, you're in that season. You understand that complaints, that griefs and gripes will tend to flow to you. I'm not under any illusion. I know that at any given time that there's a good 10 to 20% of this very body that might not have absolute positive thoughts towards me. Something's wrong here in the church or there, and it may not be, you know, directly my fault, but, you know, the buck kind of stops here. And that can change. That 20% could be a different 20% next week. That's just the way it is. You know, I might be part of that 20% that has griefs this way at any given time, too. Probably a lot. But leaders have at times been blessed with some people that, you know what, if I just had a church full of Joels or a church full of Daves, if I could just replicate them, you know, that's part of that's laziness, but if I could just have a bunch of thems, I'd be so encouraged. And God does bless leaders. He does bless when you know, even as a parent, you know, I've got six kids in the house, and not all of them can I always say, man, they're so encouraging, they're so edifying, they're such a blessing. They all bring such harmony and joy unspeakable, full of glory to this house. See, that's what this man here, he's Joseph. But see, we don't know him by Joseph. I don't know hardly anybody that calls Barnabas Joseph. You know, it's Paul and Barnabas. And they just, this guy named Joseph from Cyprus, a Levite of Cyprus, he is such an encouragement to the 12 that they just call him encourager. Thank God for Barnabas. All the things the apostles probably had to deal with. I mean, it wasn't just a free flow, a nice water slide into heaven for the apostles. There was a lot of bumps and obstacles and hindrances along the way. But thank God, every so often you get a Barnabas type. And you know, this type of servant, that's what I'm getting at. When there are people in the body of Christ, and I can remember back at the last church I was at, you know, it was a smaller percentage there, but I can remember that there were people, I would say, that's Barnabas. Thank God that person was there. They were a refreshing. You know, I'm not talking about a yes man. I'm not talking about that somebody that just everything's okay and we don't ever make any waves. But somebody that, by and large, they are going to encourage you. It's kind of like when Moses was, his arms were wearing down and Aaron and Hur lifted his arms up. People like that. I think back to the last church and I think, you know, encouragement. Barnabas. And this church is a much larger percentage, by the way. Thank you. A much larger percentage that, you know what? That person is so encouraging. They are a blessing. You know, even if they should smite me, it's like faithful are the wounds of a friend, while the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. They're still a blessing, even in reproof. And so I love this Barnabas, this Joseph, as he is named, who came to be Barnabas. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a bodybuilder. I want to be somebody, and I ask God to help me. I pray this often. Lord, help me to be a blessing. Just like Abraham, Bible says it was prophesied to him that you shall be a blessing. Your seed shall be a blessing. Lord, help me to be a blessing. I don't want to be a mere consumer that sucks the life out of a situation. If I don't get my way, then I pout and I secretly nurse discontentment and eventually fall prey to becoming a malcontent. But Lord, help me to be a blessing, even if they're nasty to me. You know, the soft answer turns away wrath. And that's what I see this Joseph is. They just say, you know what? Thank God for that man. It wasn't about Barnabas merely bringing money and laying it at the apostles' feet. You know, that is an example of the charity which was developing in the early church. But they just changed his name. And I'd like to at times feel that maybe my name's being changed from what I am to a Barnabas, to a blessing. I'm building up the body of Christ. Colossians 4, 12 through 13, here's a relatively unsung hero. You know, Barnabas probably gets a whole lot more attention, but this Epaphras is equally noteworthy. In Colossians 4, 12 through 13, as we consider these bodybuilders, their blessings sent from God, Paul said to the Colossians, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you. Now look at this. Always struggling What's his struggle? Is he struggling because the music's not long enough? Is he struggling because his preference wasn't met or he didn't get his way? Look what it says here. He's always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness, he's worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. This Epaphras, another great example. And at this point, as Paul's in prison, and this is one of the prison epistles, Epaphras' work seems to be a season of intercessory prayer. He's not able to be at Colossae. He may be the one that took the letter to the Colossians, but here, he's not in Colossae, nor is he in Laodicea or Hierapolis. These were three cities that were close together. But I tell you what a blessing as he stood in the gap. And you may not always be hands-on. You may not be able to do the nursery at this season. Those days might have passed. You know, there's times and seasons. You may not be able to do more physical labors. You know, we had men go yesterday and do an outreach, and they did construction work, and bless you all for that. You were blessings from God, and you blessed those who God's very concerned about. It's going to come back your way. But here, he's in a season of praying, and to the person that prays for the body of Christ, in my estimation, is probably the greatest servant. The one that stands in the gap. As a matter of fact, right now what you're receiving is actually a result of their prayers. They prayed at some point. They gathered in homes at one point. They gathered at times in early seasons of our church. May not even remember. They prayed prophetically. They prayed very recently. They might have prayed this morning. And the fruit of their prayers, which God never forgets, comes forth, and we all are able to receive of the harvest that their labors brought forth. And this Epaphras struggling, as I want to encourage us, wherever we might be, we can all labor in some way towards the body of Christ. And it's not just Victory Christian per se. You know, you might be taking care of little ones right now, and you're wore down. I got two or three little ones. Well, guess what? That's the body of Christ. Those are precious little souls, and that's your service. Or maybe you're tending to a widow parent, or you're tending to somebody that's sick in your family. You know, that's part of that service, and God's not going to forget that service. He's going to bless you. You know, Jesus talked about that if you've done it unto the least of these. You know, when I was in prison and you visited me, I was sick and you visited me. I was hungry, I was naked, you took care of me. They said, when did we do that? Whenever you do it to those who you least expect, you might not even consider this is serving Jesus. Oh, no. If they're included in God's household of faith, you might say, oh, it's just my husband, just my wife, big deal. You know, if a neighbor asks me for something, you know, I'm great guns, I'm going to be a blessing. But if my husband asks, oh, I got to do that again, hold on a second. Don't just look at them that way. Look at them as, oh, Jennifer's not here, darn it. But anyway, someone give her this, but no, she does serve. But, you know, serve the body of Christ, who is your husband or your wife or your children even. You know, sometimes kids, they got their, you know, look at this, they've drawn the same stick figure 100 times. No, give them a little time. You consider this is a little part, at least, in the body of Christ. Be a blessing. Now, key point for us, and I'm amazed how God chooses to use immature, weak vessels in his great building project, but he does. As I said earlier, he could do it himself, but he chooses to use me. How great and wonderful is his work. Now, key point, God uses faithful workers to build up his church. I want to give you a little example here of God using someone like me or using the least to service his wonderful body. The folklore surrounding Poland's famous concert pianist and prime minister Ignaz Paderewski includes this story. A mother wishing to encourage her young son's progress at the piano bought tickets for a Paderewski performance. When the night arrived, they found their seats near the front of the concert hall and eyed the majestic Steinway waiting on stage. Soon the mother found a friend to talk to and the boy slipped away. I wonder where this little boy's going. When 8 o'clock arrived, the spotlights came on and the audience quieted, and only did Then did they notice a little boy on that bench innocently picking out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. His mother gasped, but before she could retrieve her son, the master appeared on the stage and quickly moved to the keyboard. "Don't quit. Keep playing," he whispered to the boy. Leaning over, Paderewski reached down with his left hand and began filling in the bass part. Soon, his right arm reached around the other side, encircling the child to add a running obbligato. Together, the old master and the young novice held the crowd mesmerized. In our lives, unpolished though we might be, is this not exactly? You know, we might think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Man, I just prayed such a mighty prayer, or I did such a great feat or an exploit. But from somewhat of notoriety to somebody that you'll never know, we are all like that little boy who God chooses to use. He doesn't need a one of us, but it is a wonder beyond wonders that he uses us. And with these seven, you know, by and large, there was a thought that was communicated, almost a concern and a fear that I'm not worthy. I don't merit such a position. I don't so much mind that. I don't want that to become a paralyzing thing to where you don't step out, but I'd rather have that than some arrogant, brazen, yeah, not only should I have that, but I should be doing everything else of notoriety. But they had that humility, and that God's going to use them. He's been using them. He's going to continue to use them. And he uses us all that way. And so God uses faithful workers to build up his church. Now, not only are faithful workers blessings from God, but see, this is always God sowing and reaping. There's compensation. Oh, I don't need anything from God. Well, you might not, but God's into blessing and giving, both in this life and in the life to come. When you choose to put your hand to the plow, when you say, I am going to serve the Lord in the way that I can, then blessings are going to come back your way. When you honor the body, when you honor his bride, when you honor his great concern, but with your time, your talents, your energy, your thoughts, positive communication, it's going to flow back to you. How could it not? God wants that to grow and increase and replicate. Faithful servants are also blessed by God and rewarded both in the present and in the life to come. Now, 1 Timothy 3:8-13 gives us a very solid understanding of the deacons and their leadership role with their qualifications. 1 Timothy 3:8, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. And they must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. In other words, they're saved and they know it. They have a clear conscience about that matter. They hold the mystery of faith, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 10, and let them also be tested first. Let them serve as deacons, which is almost redundant. Deacons is the noun for the verb serve. Let them serve as servers if they prove themselves blameless. And so the men that we're going to pray over today, they're only moving into a more official and recognized position of what they've been doing all along. You see, we don't participate in some type of political office situation that unfortunately many churches can get bogged down in. They can see positions as something to be attained, and then there's elections and people in the body run against each other, and I just don't see that as what the Lord intended for his body. But the ones that serve faithfully, then they are qualified and prove themselves. We don't lay hands on a person suddenly and such, a novice. Now, verse 11, their wives. Now, all seven of these men that we're going to pray over today are also married, so they have their wives were under consideration as well, because you need to make sure that if a leader is married, that the wife is on board in an accord. If not, that will be the first entry level of the devil to begin to wreak havoc into a church, no doubt about it. So the wives also were considered and were part of the initial meetings as to praying about this, and we're all in agreement. and praise God for that. And all their wives are good servants as well and people of good report. Verse 11, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, so they know how to keep this shut, and not gossip and malign, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Verse 12, let deacons each be the husband of one wife. Now, more in context, polygamy is in view here. They had to be monogamistic or the husband of one wife. Going on, verse 12, managing their children and their own households well. So their houses are in order. They're not in constant chaos. It doesn't mean there's not times where things need to be sorted out. But by and large, the peace of God and the order of God prevails in their household. Verse 13, now this is the what's in it for me part of this. And I love this. For those who serve well as deacons, what do they get? They gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Stephen comes to mind in the earlier narration that I'd given. In Acts chapter 6, what did Stephen start doing? He started in some way tending to the needs of the widows. These seven were doing that. They probably did other things as well. But Stephen began to grow. Now, here's a great principle. I want you to catch this. If you pray, I wish I could grow in the Spirit. I wish I could grow in the knowledge and revelation of the Word. I wish I could gain a greater strength and be a more mature Christian. There's a secret. It's called serving. When you start to serve, when you make yourself vulnerable, and you give yourself, you yield yourself to God, God will come in and start doing double works in your life. He'll start multiplying you. How many times have you heard this, by the way, especially if you've been a teacher? A teacher that reads, they hear, they read, they hear, they can sit, and they can get the word. But once they start to give the word, they could be teaching the preschool class. They start teaching, and I've heard this so many times. Once I started teaching, I actually thought I was getting more out of the word than they were. It's like it opened up to me. Of course that's the way it is. Did you know that there are people that you work with right now that you know them better than some of your extended family? You're with them every day. You get to know each other's stories, you know, whether you want to or not. You get a lot more personal with people that you work with. Now think about this. God intended for us to work with him from the beginning. Adam and Eve, you're going to be working this garden. Work's not a curse, by the way. You're going to be working this garden. You'll remember that tomorrow. You're going to be working this garden, and I'm going to be there with you. There's something about working and revelation. When you begin to put your hand to the plow, or like Jesus said, that take my yoke upon you. You know, a yoke is not an instrument for laziness. That just seems totally incongruent, does it not? A yoke is about work. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke's easy, my burden's light, but we're going to be working together. We're going to be doing things. I'm going to be working in you and through you for my good purposes. When you accept that, when you serve the Lord of gladness, you know, it's a shame that the Queen of Sheba came to the courts of Solomon and she couldn't believe it. She said, happy are your servants. Well, it's a shame. It can be a shame when the servants of God himself aren't as happy as Solomon's servants were to an earthly king. When we serve the Lord and there's gladness and we say, oh, better to serve in the household of God, better to be a doorkeeper in God's house, you know, than to be anywhere else. What a privilege it is that I could serve my wife. What a privilege it is that I could serve my children. What a privilege it is that I could be in the employment of God Almighty. And when a person is of that mindset and they work, you know, it's very interesting. I see even people that are newer to the faith and there's like a volunteer side. I want to volunteer. I want to do something. That's a sign of life, by the way. And when they get into that mode, that's where God will begin to share even more. Why should God share his secrets and the intimate things with people that are lazy and going to do nothing with them? And so look at verse 13 again with that in mind. For those who serve well as deacons, they gain good standing for themselves. They they gained great confidence in the faith. They might have not have been as confident. Might have been timid. Might have been unsure and insecure. You know, a person that is unsure and insecure and they go through long seasons of wondering and confusion. You can give them doctrine and doctrine, and you should do that. That's foundational. But sometimes they have to basically get out of a boat. They've got to work. They've got to do something for the Lord. And in doing so, when they say, I am a bond slave of Christ, I'm the manservant or a maidservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that confidence comes in. Then there's a greater degree of knowing Christ and understanding his purposes, and you're prepping yourself for what's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. That's a whole other message. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. The writer of Hebrews had written some very harsh warnings to this church. You know, this is like one of the Brillo pads of the New Testament. And you can read the preceding verses later if you'd like. Strong stuff. But he says in verse 9 here, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things. Things that belong to salvation. In other words, we see signs of life. We know that you're saved. We've spoken some huge warnings, but you're right with God. Why? Look at verse 10. For God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love that you had showed for his sake in serving the saints, and as you still do. Now, we are not saved by our works. This is not about a legalistic approach. He bypasses the obvious faith that he talks about throughout the letter of Hebrews, and he goes to something which is very, perhaps mundane, but evident. You all love each other, and you all serve each other. And God's not going to forget that. He is going to bless you. And so I want to ask God once again, Lord, help me to be a bodybuilder. Help me to be a blessing, because I also like to be blessed. Anybody out there like to be blessed, by the way? You know, would you rather say, hey, I want blessings, or I just want to go into deficit mode? You know, what would you rather be? I'd like to be blessed. It doesn't mean you're selfish. There's a good selfishness and a bad selfishness. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's good. And so I want to be blessed. Ask God to help you to be a bodybuilder. Don't be like the writer of this anonymous poem here. It goes like this. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Real service is what I desire. I'll sing you a solo any time, dear Lord. Just don't ask me to sing in the choir. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I like to see things come to pass. But don't ask me to teach boys and girls, oh Lord. I'd rather just stay in my class. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I yearn for thy kingdom to thrive. I'll give you my nickels and dimes, dear Lord, but please don't ask me to tithe. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'm busy just now with myself, dear Lord. I'll help you some other day. No, no, no. Build the body of Christ up today. Serve the Lord of gladness today. And finally, I want to encourage us with the ripple effect reward rule. As these seven are going to be coming forth soon, and we're going to be praying over them, it is imminent. It is inevitable. I know, because I'm a person too. I think these ways. And some of you are so much better than me that maybe it'll escape you. But the what about me's can settle in. You know, they're being prayed over. What about me? Or they're being prayed over. What about my mom or dad or my son or daughter? Well, there's a good ambition and there's an unhealthy ambition. Paul talked about a good ambition with Timothy. Those who desire the office of bishop desire a good thing. If God has called you to that and you desire it, that's okay. And you may have that call. And I'm kind of like Moses in this regard. When there were some people that were jealous because people who did not have hands laid on them were being used by God, some people said, hey, Moses, we should stop them. Moses said, I wish that all the people of God were prophets. Well, I would say, I wish that all the people of God were functioning deacons, whether they have the official role or a deaconess, whether they have the official role or not. I would to God that all the people were serving the body in some way. But there's another side. There's a wonderful side here, but it takes us relaxing the westernized individual focus, to backing that up to some extent. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 24 to 26, David and his men had just got back from rescuing their kidnapped wives and children. Doesn't seem like we can get away from David, can we? So here, they come back and they have all of this spoil. They have a lot of money and animals, and they've recovered all that was lost, plus a whole lot. And in verse 24, we pick it up here. Some men were so weary that they were unable to go and even recover their wives and children. You may recall, I think I talked about it last week or the week before, that they were so despondent that they wept until they had no more strength to weep. They were so down and depressed that it was affecting their physical bodies. And so when David sets off to recover that which was stolen, a large amount of the army stayed behind. They stayed with the baggage or the luggage or the goods. Then when they came back, those that had gone and done the fighting and recovered what was lost, they complained and they said, you know what? Give these that trailed behind, give these that were wore out and didn't come and labor with us, give them their wives and their children, but they shouldn't get anything else. So selfish. Such an individual focus. But thanks be to God, here's what the Spirit does. See, it's always more than just one person or seven people being prayed over. There's a group effect, a ripple effect reward rule that we find here. Verse 24, David said, "For as his share is who goes down into the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall all share alike." Everybody, it's like all the boats rise together. Everybody is going to be blessed with what you've done and the works you've done and the energy you've exerted. It's not just about you. Everybody in this community is to be blessed. And I see these seven. Not only are they to be blessed and to receive a boldness of faith and a recognition, but also they're like a shot in the arm to this body. They're going to be a part of what God wants to do and expanding us. And you know, we don't know exactly what's ahead of us. We don't know about how dark things could be, how wearying things could be with society as it is and cultural collapse and persecution. You know, we're moving from persecution to prosecution in the church. And these seven, it may very well be God's prophetic plan that he is expanding the base. He's strengthening the stakes, if you will, and he's allowing there to be a group blessing just by them being brought in closer to the leadership hub, if you will. And the whole body is to be blessed by it. Verse 25, it says, "And he that is David, he made this a statute and a rule for Israel from that day forward to this day." Verse 26, "When David came to Ziklag, he sent part of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, 'Here's a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord.'" Not only was the community blessed, but he also was able to bless others outside of their group. And these seven, I see it in the Spirit, these seven coming in, they're part of a great blessing for our body. And it's not about who didn't get prayed over. It's that we all share in this together. We all can rejoice. As I talked about earlier in 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, everybody suffers. And if one member is honored, all rejoice in that honoring. And all of us being blessed, but also there's a ripple effect. There's generations to come. There's people that God still wants to bring into this family. And he's strengthening the foundation. He's firming up the structure of this local church so that we can absorb more people and they can share in the reward as well. And so let me conclude today. This is God's will, that we bless his family, we be blessed by such a service. Serving is spirituality. It is hard to make a distinction between the spiritual and the servers. spiritual people are going to serve. If you're in the spirit, you can't help but to have God's interest in mind. You're going to serve here. You're going to serve out there in some way, known, unknown, big, small, whatever. You're going to be serving God. Now, let me give you a little illustration and conclusion here about the spiritual nature of service. This is from a collection of Jewish tales. In a small Jewish town in Russia, there's a rabbi who disappears each Friday morning for several hours. His devoted disciples boast that during those hours, their rabbi goes up to heaven and talks to God. A stranger moves into town. He's skeptical about all this, so he decides to check things out. He hides and watches. The rabbi gets up in the morning, says his prayers, and then dresses in peasant clothes. He grabs an axe, goes off into the woods, and cuts some firewood, which then he hauls to a shack on the outskirts of the village. There an old woman and her sick son live. He leaves them in the wood. He leaves them the wood enough for a week, and then he sneaks back home. Having observed the rabbi's actions, the newcomer stays on in the village and becomes his disciple. Whenever he hears one of the villagers say, "On Friday morning, our rabbi ascends all the way to heaven," the newcomer quietly adds, "If not higher." Serving the Lord, it is spirituality. And so I want to commend you, first of all, as a family, that by and large, there's a very healthy percentage of those that are serving and continue on. And if you're not there yet for whatever reason, maybe you're in a season of life, you need to soak, that's okay. We want you to be blessed. You're newer and you're just learning your way, that's fine too. We don't want you to rush into anything. But we would hope that in time, everybody would find service unto the King in some way, in the body, in the family, in the workplace, in the school, serving the Lord in some capacity. And that's part of your trek towards heaven, if you will. Now I want to switch, and we're going to have a very solemn occasion as we pray for these men. And so I want to call forth these men. I'm going to have you stand across the front and face your wonderful family. And so we'll have Andy Wimman, if you could come down. Mark Weberg. Rick Gibney. Caleb Pasha, Cameron Bezalow, Tony Sinor, and Tyler Simon. Why don't you guys scoot up just a little bit because we're going to have people praying behind you. There we go. And yes, it was a coincidence, like in Acts 6, there were seven, that we have seven here today. So it was not planned that way, but it works out very nicely. Why don't you guys scoot in here? And we're going to have also our present deacons, Jay Fryer, Bobby Barker, and Randy Johnson. If you all could come behind them. And then Jeff, we're going to have our elders, Jeff Statham, Dave Raboyne, Steve Alton, and Joel Tischer. I hadn't planned that either, 7 and 7. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to come and we're going to pray today. These are the men that have taken some time, and we took a good 3 to 6 months, somewhere in there. I forget now, it all seems to run together. But took some time and prayed about this, and as I said earlier, by and large, there was a concern that I just don't feel like I merit it, or I measure up. Well, you know what? We read out of 1 Timothy 3 that they have served faithfully. They have a good reputation. Their wives are in order and are aligned with them. And they've been tested, they've been tried, and have been found, they have fulfilled the work of God already. None of them need the position of deacon to continue to do what they're doing. But as a church, we want to recognize and we want there to be God's leadership and of the elders and deacons. And so we're going to just, as the Lord wills, we're going to pray for them today. And so if we could, I'm going to pray a prayer, and if we could just stretch our hands towards them in agreement today. Thank you, Jesus. And And I'm going to anoint each of them with oil. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Men, could you put your hands on them? Those you're standing behind them, put your hands on them. Oh, Lord, we acknowledge the solemnity and the seriousness, Lord, that your work represents, your kingdom being worked on in earth as it is in heaven, the church, your very body. And Lord, we realize that we're instruments and vessels. It's not by might or power. It's only by your Spirit what you've done, O Lord. And I ask today for these men, Lord. I ask for Tony Sonor, for Cameron Bezalow, for Caleb Pasha, Rick Gibney, Andy Winman, Mark Weberg, Tyler Simon, precious brothers. I pray, Lord God, that you would bless them as they have been faithful, Lord, that today there would be a work, a multiplier effect in them, O Lord. I pray that the same Spirit which rose Jesus from the dead would rise up in them, O Lord, that there be an increase of confidence and boldness in the faith. Lord, that as they already have a heart for this church, let that double. Let there be a recognition, God, that it's not about them. That we're instruments. Help us to see the needs in your body. Help us to care for this body, O Lord. And as these are blessed and as these grow and even become stronger to ward off other attacks the enemy will bring, pray the whole body will be increased, O Lord. And so I just pray, Lord, that they would be committed. They're already called, so let them be committed unto you. And Lord, may they just grow in every way. Thank you for these men. I thank you for the men behind them, praying for them, that you've called us as leaders. Thank you for the wives of each of these that are here. Bless and keep them, O Lord. May the enemy not find a way to wiggle in and to harm the church. But let this, Lord God, be a group which builds up your body. I pray, Lord, that these would not just see themselves in functioning in mundane ways, but they would see people and love people. They will equip people to be equippers. That, Lord, you'll put people on their hearts to call and to minister to, O Lord. That all of us together, many hands making light work. Lord, that all of us going in the same direction, O Lord God, would build your body up, O Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, that they would continue to grow in you. Keep them, O Lord. Protect them. Let your peace be experienced in great ways in their lives. Thank you for these precious men, O Lord. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. We could stand. Yeah, let's thank God for them. Yeah. I want to encourage you all today, if you get a chance, just bless these, recognize them, love on them, maybe pray for them. And if you have a special word, leaders or congregation, have a special word you want to encourage them, maybe God's given you scriptures for one of them, just be a blessing to them, because I know they're going to be a blessing to you. Amen. And Godspeed. Have a great day.